Hello, fellow RVers, and welcome to the RV Connects podcast. We are Melina and Dan.
Hello.
And we are the RV Canucks, part-time RVers who, along with our teen and tween, make sure you have the tools, tips, and stories that help you travel further on your vacations. We're so glad you're here for episode 17 of the podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about the best holiday gifts for RVers. We've decided to frame this episode not necessarily around really practical stuff, because we have talked about that in length on episode 7, which lists our RV pre-trip checklist that we use, as well as our top 10 RV essentials. So all the really boring stuff, but essential stuff that you absolutely have to have. So if you haven't checked that episode out yet, please go check that one out. That one is by and large our most popular episode to date and definitely has a lot of traction. So go check that out. But today we are talking about all of those fun things that make life on the road a little more comfortable, a little more fun, or a little easier. So we talked a bit about how to structure this episode, and we thought we could do it by category, by price point, but in the end, we sort of picked three categories that we think kind of embody most of what we're trying to accomplish as RVers, and we've broken it down into the categories of cooking, comfort, relaxation, and then we're going to wrap it up with some really great, really small stocking stuffers that you can hand off to friends and family who also love the RV life. Now, I will say that we are not bougie campers. We are not fancy pants campers. And wouldn't you say our philosophy around camping is kind of like less is more?
Yeah, you don't need a ton of stuff because we're messy campers and people can't put their shoes away and it's more stuff to pack up. And yeah, we're kind of make sure everything has more than one use maybe.
For sure. So this isn't about like the fanciest gadgets. Like I know a lot of people really love their countertop ice makers. You will probably never find that in my campground because I can just go to the ice machine and buy a $2 bag of ice and like drop it on the ground to break it apart and stick that in my drink. So, you know, we have kind of broken this down to stuff we love, stuff we use, or hint, hint, Dan, stuff that's on our list that maybe we want to see under the tree this year. I don't know. Let's get started. The cooking category, because that, of course, is what you spend a ton of time doing when you are RVing. And the first pick on the list is my pick. This is something that I came across earlier this year, which we do not own yet, Dan, but it is a fantastic use of space for somebody who has an RV that maybe has like a slide out in the kitchen. I don't know if I would be using this item if we didn't have a slide, but what it is a folding kitchen island or a folding kitchen cart. And I've linked all of these items up onto the blog post for this episode so you can see exactly what I'm talking about. But essentially it's a cart that folds flat, like say like an old style like TV tray would, but except it's got a really, you know, significant butcher block top. And you know, it's about 18 by 24 by 36 high. So it's counter height, which is fantastic and just gives a little bit of extra counter space, chopping space for when you're prepping. And it's got a couple of shelves underneath that you can stick dishes on or, you know, whatever, your bowl of salad while you're prepping. And I just think it's a fantastic use of space. Our RV, the only space you have to cut vegetables is if you stick a cutting board on top of the cooktop, which is fine unless it happens to be a really crappy rainy night and you need to be cooking inside, in which case you kind of have to take turns like sitting down at the table to cut vegetables or whatever you're doing. So this I think is fantastic. I love that it folds flat. I started looking at, you know, IKEA and things like that where we could just purchase a small kitchen cart and put it in the RV. But really when you fold up, you have this big cart to deal with that doesn't collapse or doesn't get any smaller. So you have to figure out what to do with this big cart when you travel. So that is my pick. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it looks like something you could probably take outside and use outside the trailer too, mm-hmm. because I know sometimes we struggle to find a table to get the toaster on and the coffee maker on, you know, something outside the trailer when we're cooking outside. The next thing I'd recommend is a Jetboil stove. It's a really small stove. Essentially what you're getting is a cup/pot that the burner, the stand, all a lid, all kind of compacts in nicely for storage. Probably measures 5-6 inches in diameter, maybe 7-8 inches tall. Really nice and small, really light. This thing boils water really quick, like in a matter of minutes. Like I dare say, hey, if you can't get it boiled in a minute, it's only 2 or 3 minutes and you can boil water. Really good in cold weather. It's worked really well for me, even down to like minus 35. And so I think that'll probably cover off most people. It's really dual use, right? Because you can use it outside your trailer if you just need to boil some water real quick for a hot chocolate, or you can also use this on day trips, hikes, if you're out on a big, longer hike with the family from the trailer. I've used it snowmobiling, taken it with the girls fishing, backpacking, really easy to light. And here's the great thing. If you're going to buy, this is the gift that could kind of keep on giving. If you're going to buy this for somebody for Christmas, next Christmas, you can buy them, you know, the pan set, the fancy coffee maker that comes with it, all those kind of little gadgets. So it's got lots of more accessories. Really recommend it.
So Blackstone Tailgater.
Blackstone Tailgater. You know, half of the fun is the social aspect of cooking and trying new recipes and keeping everything hot. And as you know, you've got a barbecue and you've got a stove and, you know, maybe you've got a Coleman tabletop stove. This is kind of a really great for tailgating. It's a barbecue and a griddle combined all in one. So I think this is really good for, you know, if you want to tailgate, you want to have a big cookout at the trailer, lots of uses. I'll throw a little side hint in here. I take pride in cooking my bacon and eggs for the family. And so one thing I do is I cook all the bacon on the first day. I set half of that bacon aside and it goes back into the fridge for another day. When I come back to that bacon to cook the eggs another day, I cook the eggs. And then if I've got the bacon just right, I break it in half and I put it on top of the fried egg and it rewarms the bacon. So you get warm bacon, less mess, and your eggs get infused with a great bacon taste.
Thanks, Dan. I'm still laughing that you said doo-doo because I have the humor of a 12-year-old. Dan is very passionate about his bacon and eggs, just like he's passionate about getting the best fuel mileage when we travel. So those are two things that you need to know about Dan.
And so maybe if the Blackstone Tailgater is not for you, the other thing I recommend is, and we have this, is the Napoleon Grill. It's a really small suitcase type barbecue that you can pick up, probably not a lot bigger than an overnight bag. Really light, easy to get lit. It's got really good even heat because anybody who's used the barbecue that came with your trailer knows that it's a pile of garbage. We've all driven down the road and seen somebody who's loaded up his home barbecue into the back of his truck, and I'm sure that was a pile of work to get on and a pile of work to get off. So this is a nice, really small, inexpensive barbecue that you can use on the back of your tailgate, on the top of your picnic table. I have taken it with the girls' day trips on fishing. It would fit in a small fishing boat if you're going to do shore lunch. It would probably even fit in a canoe if you wanted to do that. Really nice and easy to use. And then you just use those Coleman propane canisters to fuel it up. If that's I'm sure you could probably find an attachment for a conventional barbecue tank.
All right, moving on to one of our most favorite things that we use literally almost every meal when we camp is cast iron. And what I'll let Dan get into the specifics because he is the cast iron guru in the family. He seasons them and takes care of them. But there's a ton of cast iron that you can get. But if you're just starting out, what we've linked to and what we use primarily is like a 2-in-1 cast iron set that's kind of a modified or a smaller version of a Dutch oven, but it's two skillets that go together, a pan or a pot and a skillet that go together, and you use one as the lid or you can use it as two separate pans. And I find that if you're just starting out with cast iron, that's the best way to go to kind of get the best bang for your buck and get the best of both worlds. But it's not hard to take care of. Everyone who I know who doesn't use cast iron is kind of a scared off because they think it's really maintenance heavy, but it sure isn't.
I almost think is easier to use than a nonstick frying pan. If you're going to get yourself a cast iron pan and you're not sure about whether you want to use it and you want to make it easy, get one that's pre-seasoned, ready to go outside of the box. And then we have cooked chicken, we've cooked bacon, we've cooked vegetables, we've cooked all kinds of stuff in
this. Nachos, pizza.
And all you got to do, folks, to clean it is wipe it out. You don't put soap in it because soap breaks down the oil in the seasoning. You wipe it out with a paper towel. You get it nice and clean. I maybe at most have had to scrape it a little bit, but everything just wipes back out. And I put a little bit of oil back on it and I put it back in the box.
What kind of oil do you use, Dan?
I use vegetable oil. I use cooking spray, whatever I got around. Sometimes olive oil.
I think a liquid oil tends to work a little bit better, but we have used cooking spray in a pinch if we need to, if that's all we have.
Yeah, use vegetable oil. If you have a choice, just use vegetable oil, but I'm sure you've got that in your trailer already just stored underneath for lots of different uses.
And that's another good point is we don't actually keep the cast iron pans in the kitchen because they are a little bit oily. We keep them in the box that they came in, right? And we keep it in the undercarriage storage compartment of the trailer.
Yeah, because usually we use it outside the trailer anyway. So rather than me going back inside to get it hauled out of the trailer, it's right underneath the under storage, which kind of brings us to our next bit of cast iron. And maybe if you're not ready to make the jump to a full pot and pan, get yourself an inexpensive pie iron made out of cast iron. It's really simple. If nothing less, you can make a really cool grilled cheese out of it. You can make kind of pizza pockets. Mm-hmm. You can make pies, desserts, eggs. I mean, you really can't go wrong. Mm-hmm. It's great for meals. So if you want to center a meal around it, you can do a meal around it. You can do a late night snack around it. Mm-hmm. It's really good because it can get your kids involved in it. They can help you get the ingredients ready. They can make their own individual grilled cheese, pizza pocket, dessert. They can hold it by the fire. And that's really easy, really small. Same thing. Don't use soap and water. Just wipe it out with a paper towel, a little bit of vegetable oil, store it underneath the trailer.
For sure. And head to the blog at rvconnects.com to see a picture of it. But basically, it's like a clamshell that would fit just kind of a standard Wonder Bread piece of bread. Like, that's about the size that it is. Of course, you can use any kind of bread or dough or whatever that you're going to put in it. But that's about the size of it. We have a double pie iron, which means we can do two at once, which is fantastic. But they also come in single. But it's just like a clamshell that kind of folds over and then like clips at the bottom. And then you just kind of flip it over the fire like you would if you were roasting a hot dog.
Yep.
Yeah. Getting into a little bit of the bougie and a little bit of the fancy cooking equipment, the Ninja Foodi air fryer is something that's really popular with RVers because it has a huge space-saving design feature. And that is, when you're done with the air fryer, you can flip it up and just store it against your backsplash, so it takes up, you know, half the space that it otherwise would. So with the Ninja Foodi, you can air fry, you can roast with it, broil, bake, toast, dehydrate. Like I said, it does flip up a way. I know some people who have actually removed their microwave and just use this, but it uses up to 75% less fat than traditional methods of frying. So if you want chicken wings one night, if you want French fries, you're basically opening up a whole avenue for diversified cooking, especially if you're spending a long time in the trailer. That I think it's a really good investment, is to have that air fry.
And if you're in the kind of place like we are in Southern Ontario, where we're actually getting snow today and camping season is over, cast iron, the air fryer are probably great gifts that you can try and experiment with in your house kitchen.
For sure.
Until camping season begins, and then put them back out in the trailer for the summer.
Mm-hmm. The last thing on our kitchen list, and this is something we have just recently purchased, is a Keurig Duo Slim. So in the past, we have had a regular coffee maker and we have had a Keurig at home, and they took up a ton of counter space. But luckily, our original Keurig kicked the bucket. It was done. It was like the first generation Keurig that we were so excited to buy when they came out. And so when that one died, we decided, okay, let's buy another one. And we bought this Keurig Duo Slim, which we are now going to be putting in the trailer, because it literally is a full 12 cup coffee pot in a stainless steel carafe that you can brew. And I would say, what, like 2 hours, 3 hours later, like, it's still hot.
Yeah,
if we don't drink our coffee right away.
I like my coffee, like my bacon and eggs, nice and hot.
Mm-hmm. Like I like my husband's. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic because you have the Keurig single serve set and you have the option to brew a full pot, which is fantastic. It's also got a lot more size options than the other Keurig did, and it just takes the place of both. Now, I mean, our coffee, journey in camping, like, there was a lot of years where we refused to drink anything other than cowboy coffee, which we still do. And I mean, like, cowboy coffee is in an aluminum percolator that you would put on a campfire, which we still do from time to time because we actually love it. And there's just something about camping, or something that says camping, about having cowboy coffee. So we do still have that and we use it a lot, but there are some mornings where we just want a quick cup of coffee, or it's cold and rainy outside and we don't want to have to go outside and cook the coffee. So we allow ourselves that luxury. Dan and I can pound back a ton of coffee during the day, I'm not going to lie. So having this in the trailer is such a huge space saver. I mean, I know they're not cheap, but they go on sale all the time. So wait for a sale and you will love it. It's such a good option to add that little bit of luxury and comfort to camping.
And again, you can try it out all winter too. So it's that kind of, these are the kind of gifts you can give somebody on Christmas Day and they don't need to wait till May to be able to use them.
Yeah, for sure. So moving on to the comfort category, we have a number of cool things that we actually use at home. One we have seen for years, but I actually only ended up purchasing it during Amazon Prime days, and that is the fold down. They're like a clip-on fold down headrest that you would put in the vehicle for long road trips. So it's no secret, we take long road trips. We want all of you to take long road trips too, but sometimes it's very hard, particularly if you want to have a nap, to get comfortable in a car. We've all been there where we've got you know, travel pillows wrapped around our neck. I think our last road trip, anytime I tried to have a little snooze, which I don't do well in a vehicle already, I took like 2 travel pillows and wrapped them around so my head wasn't like completely flopping over to the side. But these things are fantastic. So you clip them onto the back of the headrests. They flip up out of the way when they're not being used, and you flip them down on either side, left or right or both, and you just lean your head against them and have a sleep. I think they're fantastic. I think like every airline should have them on every headrest. I think they're super comfortable. The kids both give them 2 thumbs up. The only thing I will say, we installed one in the back and we have one for the front, but it kind of obstructs the view a little bit. And I know the kids love to look out the front window and see where we're going. So I would kind of install that one. They're really quick to put on, like, you know, a couple of minutes and they're on. So we'll put the one on the front when we're actually on a long road trip. But other than that, you know, it does obstruct the view out the front window a little bit, but...
But they're also really good if you've got a, if you're towing with a pickup truck and you're putting it in the back seat and that seat doesn't recline. So mm-hmm. if you've got an SUV or a minivan, I'm sure maybe you've got captain's chairs in the back, they recline. I'm sure that makes sleeping easier. But if you're towing with a crew cab pickup truck and the back seats don't recline, this would be a really simple thing. Help you travel longer, further with kids. They get cranky, they can just have a snooze, or maybe your husband gets cranky and he wants his snooze.
Mm-hmm. That never happens though. Come on. Yeah. So they're, I highly recommend them. I wish we had got them years earlier. Bug repellents. So I am highly allergic to mosquito bites. If I get a mosquito bite on my arm, I probably get a 3-inch lump, like 3 by 3 by 3. Like I swell up so badly if I get bit by mosquitoes. So I have spent most of my adult life trying to avoid mosquitoes or figure out the best ways. And I have tried everything. Those things that clip on your belt, like those off things that you clip on your belt with the fan that's supposed to keep them off you, and like citronella, and like basically anything you can think of. So recently, I would say in the last like 2 or 3 years, I went and I found Thermacell, which is, I don't know, maybe like 6 or 8 inches tall by 4 inches wide. It's like a little canister, and they have different sizes now and different, I guess, radiuses of coverage. But we picked one up a couple of years ago and it's fantastic. So it has like a little butane cartridge that goes in the bottom and the little pads that go on the top, and it heats up, and these things work.
We actually started using it on the back deck before we got it for the trailer.
Yeah. And I think it is just like a miracle. I know, and I know I'm not the only one. This, like, have a look at them, check out the reviews of them. They work. And I don't know what it is that's different about, like, say the Off products, which have previously been kind of like the industry leader in bug repellents, but, or bug avoidance, but they work. And I think if anything, I would probably get a second one, because I think they work well on the, like, the level that you put them on. So we normally put it on the picnic table, but I would probably get a second one and put it underneath the picnic tables to avoid the ones that come at your ankles, and there's kind of nothing you can do about it. So definitely Thermacell. If you have somebody who just doesn't like mosquitoes or is severely allergic to them like me, and that may be a hitch or a hang up to keep them from even enjoying camping, that is something that is literally a game changer.
So let me talk a little bit about the Snug Pack Softie coat. The Snug Pack Softie is a puffy jacket, and you've probably seen puffy jackets from lots of different manufacturers in your sporting goods store. Maybe if you do hiking or running, or you go to, you know, those kind of stores, you've seen them. I got introduced to Snug Packs through my time in the Army, because soldiers don't bring those kind of coats. They use Snug Pack Softies. And these things are incredibly light, incredibly warm.
Packable.
Really packable. It comes with a little compression sack, so it really goes up smaller than the size of, almost the size of a softball. It really compacts really small. Generally comes in 2 different colors because it's reversible, so you can flip it around. I use it for all kinds of stuff. I use it when I'm outside snow blowing. I use it, you know, just going for a walk around the block early in the morning. I really like it for camping because it's really light and small. And we all know that you have those days where you wake up and the campground is cool and you want to be outside with your coffee and get warmed up. And then later in the day, things warm up and you don't need the jacket. This is really nice because it's really small and compact and it keeps you warm. So really awesome jacket that I swear by.
Mm-hmm. All right. Log grabbers.
Log grabbers. So, hey, everybody likes to have a good campfire, and I think we've all run into that problem where we've got the firewood and we've got the axe and we've got nothing to move the wood around with. I would recommend a log grabber. Lets you move the wood around the fire, poke the fire, keep the fire going so that you don't have that one burnt up stick that you're using around the campfire. It's nice and small, slides right underneath the trailer, doesn't take up a lot of space, so I'd recommend a good log grabber or a fire poker.
I like the lob grabber design because it's like a gigantic pair of tongs, right? So you can actually lift and flip the wood, whereas sometimes with a poker, you're like poking it and then it falls where you don't want it to and whatnot. And one thing I have noticed about camping, especially with kids, is everybody wants to be lord of the fire. Everybody. So having the log grabber just allows them to pick it up and move things a little better instead of poking at it till it all falls and then the fire goes out. So it kind of opens up the avenue for everybody to take a turn as fire master.
And it's not too expensive, so it's a nice little gift to give somebody.
For sure. Yeah. So upgraded shower head. So Oxygenics is the way to go. It is like the brand that everybody replaces their RV shower heads with. I still, to date, have not replaced our shower head with the Oxygenics shower head, but I have already ordered it and it is coming and it is going on our trailer because I think initially, like, we didn't shower in our trailer a lot. Like, our rule was, like, we didn't even go number two in the trailer when we first got it. We're like, nope, you can shower at the bathhouse, which we still do from time to time, but certainly during COVID and even on road trips, you know, for a number of years now, we've just showered inside because it's a whole lot easier. We love it, but let's face it, the shower heads suck that come with trailers and they leak. And when you turn them off and back on again, you have that like momentary shock of like freezing cold water before it goes warm again. Even though it's supposed to keep the same temperature, it certainly doesn't. And they actually use more water than the Oxygenics or like a replacement shower head does. And we have three girls, right? We have myself and the two girls and we all have long hair. And no matter how much you tell people to turn off the water while you're lathering and be conservative with your water use, like 1.5 showers and our gray tank is full. So a shower head like this is really going to save. Dan's staring at me like with like a death stare right now because he's the one who has to go out in the middle of a shower when the gray tank fills up and empty it. But so a shower head like this will make everybody happy, even the ones who don't directly benefit from it.
Yeah, if you've got a 15-year-old daughter who showers all the time at the campground and you're the guy who has to keep dragging the honey wagon down there once a day and it cuts into your day, invest the time to get a good shower head to cut down the water usage.
Yeah. Okay, so this one's a little offbeat, but I think it's actually made a difference. So this is something that I stuck in Dan's stocking last Christmas, and it's a screen dimming film. So what it is just like a small kind of tinted film that you would cut and like peel off. There's like a sticky backing on it. And I got it originally for the alarm clock that's beside the bed because even on the low setting, it was still really bright. And Dan loves to sleep in darkness. So I got this screen dimming film and there's a couple of different levels of dimness or like darkness that you can put on it. But basically we just cut it and I stuck it to the display of the alarm clock and it really makes a difference. Like it's almost so much like with the lights on, you can hardly see what the time is. But at night, if you want to roll over, you can see the time, but it's not blaring in your face. And this is something we also adapted to other areas of the trailer, like the display unit on the stereo in the main part of the trailer. Like if we have guests over and frequently we travel or we meet my brother and his wife or my parents will stay with us or friends and they will sleep in the main part, like the fold out couch. And so basically their face is like right beside the main stereo unit in the trailer, which has like bright blue lights. So to stick that on the face of that really dims it right down. Also on the lit switches for the water heater and the water pump.
So on my side where I sleep in the trailer, that red light from the water pump and the hot water tank shines right into me. And so what I had been doing is turning them both off at night. And then, of course, I wasn't a very popular fellow in the morning when there was no hot water. So it lets you run the hot water tank overnight and still get a good sleep by dimming down that big bright red light. And also too, for the people that are sleeping in that section as well.
For sure. And I think, you know, it was like $8, I think, for this square of film or this rectangle of film. And it's solved all of those problems just on one piece of film that you just cut to size. So
RV step carpet. So I'm sure most people out there have a set of stairs that folds out from underneath the trailer and they're just metal. And then people walk up there in their shoes and they track in all kinds of dirt into the trailer. These are really simple gray carpets that just go over, get secured with little bungee cords. You leave them on there 12 months of the year and it just helps cut down the dirt that's coming into the trailer. And it doesn't cost very much money, but it just helps keep things a lot cleaner.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So we have the Camco stair rugs that wrap around. Those are probably the cheapest ones on the market and I highly recommend them. I know you can get much more expensive ones that are thicker. Honestly, the thin carpet is enough to keep the dirt out. It's easy to sweep off and I would say one set would last you like 5 years. Like we've had our set now and it's just starting to wear through now. So don't go crazy with the budget on them. You can get them for really cheap and they will last you for a number of years.
Absolutely.
Okay, so solar, inflatable solar lights. We have a couple battery-powered lanterns, but they tend to be heavy, they tend to be bulky. If you happen to ever want to take a turn backwoods camping or going hiking where you might get stuck after dark, having a solar light is super important, but you also want to make sure that you have things that are packable when you go camping, right? Like having things that collapse and having things that break down for travel is important. So there's these fantastic inflatable solar lights. So you have basically a solar light puck that you would have similar to what you might put on like a deck post outside on your deck, but the rest of the light just kind of collapses and it's just like an inflatable ball. You would just blow it up with some air and then it turns into a full lantern that reflects the light. And these are great. So you can set them on a coffee table if you're playing cards at night. You can hang them from the edge of your awning if you're like me and smack your head off the side of the awning all the time when you're walking by it. But they're really inexpensive. They're really, really small. Also could probably double as a great stocking stuffer. But for anybody in your life who hikes, who backpacks, who camps without a trailer in a tent, you know, there's just in the backyard, like there's so many uses for these things that I just think it's a brilliant design. It's a fantastic, really creative way to get light at your campsite.
Next thing I'd recommend also in the same theme as solar powered is a solar powered charger battery pack to charge up your electronics. You can use it if you're traveling by airplane, you're traveling by road, you're day tripping, you're hiking. Inevitably, there's phones, earbuds, iPads, tablets, all kinds of things that need to get charged. And it seems like you're short on USB chargers or nobody got themselves organized and charged it the night before. So this is really small, really light, really easy. Pack it in a backpack, throw it in a purse. It can even sit in the dash of your truck and charge while you're driving. But inevitably, it just helps you keep your phone going or whatever other device that you've got going. Throw it on the back of a backpack if you're out for the day, that kind of thing. Really nice, small, fits in a stocking.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm going to add a bonus item on that if we're talking solar and say that we have a solar-powered Bluetooth speaker that we've had for years and we take camping and it's fantastic, really. With so many of us in the trailer with phones and laptops and things we need to charge using the power, it's so easy to just stick this little speaker outside and catch a charge, and it's got a pretty good battery life. It lasts quite a while. So that's my bonus tip.
Pretty rugged, gets used in the garage, the trailer. Yep. Got used in the hockey dressing room last night.
Yep, for sure. So having a stick vacuum, I felt a little odd bringing a vacuum into my trailer, to be honest, because I just felt like, no, why would I have a vacuum? That's too fancy. Like, what are we? This is camping. This is still camping. But after camping at the beach a couple of times and having enough sand to come in my trailer that would literally create a third beach, I still have a broom and I still use the broom on a daily basis. But having a stick vacuum is super important, not only just for the we have carpet in our slide, but the vinyl floor that's in the rest of the trailer. But not only that, it's fantastic because ours breaks off into, you know, like a dustbuster type of thing, a handheld unit. And you can use that to clean up crumbs in the dinette, crumbs in the folds of the couch when your kids eat chips. You know, you can vacuum off your mattresses when they get dusty. You will not be too fancy if you have a stick vacuum. Now, I have one that plugs in and I think I would like to replace it with a battery powered one. The battery powered packs don't last forever on those, but a trailer is so small that you'll definitely be able to do what you need to do with it without kind of having to think about moving a plug two or three times, because our unit doesn't reach all the way across the trailer. So,
and you can use it in the truck too when you want to clean out the truck, because your family has no respect for the hard work that dad does keeping the truck clean.
Can you tell? Oh, bitter, bitter chicken dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Relaxation.
Yes. Relaxation, because obviously daddy's stressed, so he needs to relax when we go camping.
Hammocks. So hammocks are a great idea. Really, really inexpensive. You're not going to put a lot of money into it. They're obviously great for naps. They're a good spot to go read a book, get away from the campsite, get into the trees. If you're going to be a day tripper or a backpack hiker, you can squeeze that in too. So you got a couple of different uses. This is a thing I didn't realize was going to be so much use. The girls have learned to put it up for themselves. It can take them a good hour to put this thing up. So it's a great entertainer of kids. And then once they get in there, they're carrying on and doing whatever it is kids do. But even at the ages of 12 and 15, it can kill a couple hours every day with the hammock.
Okay, so don't turn people off. It doesn't take an hour to put it up. It takes an hour for our kids to set it up because it's too low, it's too high, one side's higher than the other, and they literally redo it like 5 times. Reasonably speaking, if you find 2 trees that you can put it in, like less than 5 minutes, and you'll probably set it up.
Absolutely. A professional napper like me can get this thing up in seconds.
Yeah. So the only problem with ours is that it's so competitive, like we almost have to have like a sign-in sheet or a sign-out sheet to use the hammock. So they're like less than $30. We have like an Ohuhu one is the brand that we have, which is fantastic. Very packable. Comes with all the clips you need to hang it. And I think that we could probably do with having maybe another one, but it teaches everyone to share. So.
And it's the one thing the kids probably haven't broken yet.
True. Which brings us on to our next item on the list, which is an air hammock. And if you have kids, this thing, you will get more than a lifetime's worth of fun out of these things. So if you haven't seen them, it's kind of like a gigantic blow-up air pillow, but it kind of looks like a canoe. Like it's long. It's got a bit of a slit in the middle that you just kind of settle into and you fill it with air, but you don't use an air pump. So what you actually do is you can fill it up wherever you are. Now, the problem with these is that the parents look like idiots filling them up because small kids, it's going to be too big for them to fill up themselves. But what you do is you just kind of open the end of it and hold it open, and then you run and you use it like a big, you know, wind flag where you're filling it up with air, and then you quickly wrap it around and then it folds underneath itself and you clip it with a clip. And then the air in it allows the hammock to fill up and you chill out in it. So our kids both have one. There's varying price points. Like ours were like dirt cheap for 2 of them. Ours are just starting. Like we've had them probably, that was one of the first things we bought our kids when we got this trailer. So we've had them probably 6 or 7 years and they're just starting now to lose their life. But that is because our kids would take turns like sitting on it and then the next kid would like jump on it and like launch the first kid off of it. So they were using it in ways that maybe it wasn't designed to be used for, but I'll link to that in the show notes and I'm sure we have pictures of them on our Instagram account of the kids using them, but they're really fantastic. And honestly, they're really comfortable. Like I can go in one and have a nap. I get motion sick. So sometimes the actual tree hammock, if I'm moving too much, it makes me a little queasy, but this is something I can fill up. It's an adult size length and I could gladly have a nap in it. It's fantastic.
And I think probably, hey, by the time the girls were 10, 11, 12, they were certainly filling it up by themselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Next big important purchase is a nice comfy lawn chair. And I'm a bit of a Goldilocks when it comes to this.
Totally.
Settle down. So the chair's too tall. The back's too straight. It's too low. It's too saggy. 100 different things. I finally got basically a zero gravity chair that kind of reclines as close as I think you're going to get to a lazy boy type chair, but I use it all the time. I even put it out on the front deck, much to Melina's chagrin, but it's got a cup holder. I think we all fight over that chair and it wasn't a whole lot of money. Mm-hmm. Fits in the bed of the truck real nice. Maybe takes up a little bit more space than a fold up lawn chair, but definitely a lot more comfortable, especially if you've got, you know, sore back or stuff like that. It's certainly a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, for sure. So I would say in terms of spending your time at the campsite, I feel like this is probably one that a lot of people have, but if you don't, get a ladder ball set. Ladder ball is probably the number one thing. It's a great thing for the kids to set up while you're trying to get the trailer leveled and get beds made and all that kind of stuff so they can go put this thing together. But if you haven't played ladder ball, it's super fun for adults and kids alike. You can kind of customize it. If you have smaller kids, you put the ladders closer together. If you have adults, you put them farther apart. Well, maybe if, depending on how much fun they're having, you might want to put them closer together for certain adults too. But it's a fantastic family game that you just kind of, you've got the strings with the balls on the end and you toss them out a ladder and there's different points based on which rung it hits and if it falls off or not. And it's just a great family game.
It packs up nice and small. Mm-hmm. You know, beanbag toss is a big board that doesn't always really fold up that well. I love playing it, but it doesn't pack up that well, so it's not easy to travel. Mm-hmm. This packs up small. Ring toss, yeah, somebody out there is saying, well, we could play ring toss. That's nice and small, but it just makes me angry because I'm not good at it. So go with ladder ball, people.
Okay, so I have actually put on here travel telescope because I think they're fantastic. We've had one for years just underneath the girls' bunks. And you can take them out on dark nights, set them up. A lot of them now you can hook up to your smartphone where you can either record what you're seeing or just it kind of blows up what's coming out of the telescope for everybody to see. So you don't have to take turns with one person putting their eye up to the eyepiece. You can kind of broadcast it on your iPad or your phone for everybody to see. And I think for kids that are just fascinated, we have the app on our phone, like the Star Sky app, where you can just open it up and aim it at the sky and it kind of tells you what constellations you're looking at. So we have a ton of conversations about that with the kids, about, you know, the time of year and which stars are directly above us and why, and tracking satellites and things like that. So to be able to add that app, which is a free app, with a telescope to look at the night sky, I think it just really instills a sense of wonder.
And it's something they can use on Christmas Day too, right?
Yeah.
Kids, you know, let's be honest, kids want instant gratification and stuff they can use on Christmas Day. And
yeah,
you can probably use it after Christmas dinner as long as you haven't had too many eggnogs.
Yep. Okay, so I'm going to breeze through the next four items pretty quickly because they're all game related, but they're all games that meet the qualifications of they're fun for all ages. They're fairly fast paced. They're totally packable. By that, I mean, you can take them anywhere. Like, I randomly pick some of these games and I'll stick them in my purse if we're going out for dinner, which, who has gone out for dinner in Corona times? It's been a long time since we've been at a restaurant, but normally I will pick one of these and I'll stick it in my purse. So while we're waiting for the servers, and we've done this since the kids were little, you know, stick cards and things in our purse just to kind of keep them occupied. Or if we go out with groups of families and there's a ton of kids and the adults can kind of just get their own table and sit off and have their conversations, and the kids, you have something you can pull out of your bag to let them have at it and have a good time. So two of them are, well, I guess three of them technically are dice games. So we have Tenzi, which is basically just, all it is a bunch of dice. You have four different colors, like sets of 10 dice that are four different colors. And there's like 100 ways you can play Tenzi. But basically, the goal is you have a bunch of dice and you are just constantly rolling your dice. And so, you know, if the number is five, everybody's rolling their dice until they get all fives. And whoever does that first, it's like a speed game, wins. LCR, which is another dice game, which is left, center, right. So you all, it's super easy. All you have is little chips. Everyone has three lives that they start with. And you will roll your dice and it will either give you a dot in the middle, an L or an R. And if you have an R, you take one of your chips and you pass it to the person to the right. If you have an L, you pass your chip to the person on the left. And if you have a dot, you get to keep all your chips. So it's a great game. It goes back and forth. And if you think you're out of it and then you get back in it. So it's a really good game for, there's not a ton of strategy in it. You just kind of, it's a roll of the dice. So for small kids who might get frustrated if they get kicked out of a game easy, it's something that keeps everybody involved and entertained. The third dice game is Yahtzee. It's something that we have taken to playing a lot during coronavirus, especially during the lockdowns. We have family all over the world. So we would have like a Zoom session where everybody would come on and we would play Yahtzee, which is a pretty classic game. I find everybody of all generations can kind of pick up how to play it. The older generations in your family probably already know how to play it because they've spent all kinds of time playing it. There's a little bit more strategy. I would say probably like 10 and up. Or you can play it with younger kids and maybe just play with them and explain, you know, how to do it, because there is some strategy. But definitely Yahtzee is a fantastic one. And the last one I would say is Phase 10. So Phase 10 is a card game. It's made by Uno, like the same people who make Uno, but it goes through 10 phases and you have to make certain combinations. So what is that, like Rummy? Like, it's kind of like,
you're doing pairs. You're, you know, get four red cards or
yeah,
one through seven.
Yeah.
It, really good. And it, I don't know if we've ever actually finished the game, but we played it for hours and everybody loves it.
Yeah. And you kind of just keep track of your score. So if you want to pick it up later, it's something you can just pack up in the box and pick up later and finish around. But I find we started playing it when the kids were fairly young, like I would say like five and like two, and we would help Isla figure it out because she could tell colors and basic numbers. But it's really good for like numeracy and like just teaching them.
All ages really use
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
All ages can use it. It's really easy to teach somebody who's maybe not up on cards and you've got company coming over. They'll pick it up in seconds, really.
Yeah, for sure. So stocking stuffers, we have a really quick list of stocking stuffers, but I would say a couple of them, I know we said we weren't going to do practical gifts, but a couple of them are super practical, but they're easy to stick in a stocking. The first one would be like a socket.
It's a socket that goes in your cordless drill to put your scissor jacks down or your stabilizing jacks down on the trailer really quickly. It's also really good because you can get everybody involved in getting the trailer set up, and we get the girls to put down the scissor jacks, and it works really well.
Mm-hmm.
Using the cordless drill, they use it.
Yeah. Just double check the size of your scissor jacks, but I think primarily most of them are about 3/4 inch, but just double check. One thing that we have used for years since we were tent campers and we still use it is like this really cheap retractable clothing line that it's actually made to like tie around two ends of a tree and you string it between two trees. We didn't think we would use it much when we stopped tent camping, but constantly we would dry our towels on it, you know, our washcloths, anything, bathing suits we had to hang up outside. And I kind of assumed we wouldn't use it when we got a trailer, but our trailer doesn't have a ladder on the back of it. So I know you can get a lot of like laundry racks and things that kind of connect to a ladder on the back of your trailer. We don't have that. So we still use this tiny little like Coughlin's brand, and you just basically string it up between two trees and you are set. So the third thing I'm going to put there is Mystical Fire. If you have fires all year round or in the winter at your house, they can certainly use it right away. But basically there's little packages of powdered colorant that you basically toss in the fire and it makes your fire go rainbow colors. Kids think it's cool. They're like 99 cents a package, and they're a lot of fun to use.
Tablecloth clips. You can get them from Coughlin. They're probably less than $10 if they're even five.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you can have too many, but my job is doing the setup outside the trailer when we get there. So we got a cheap dollar store tablecloth and you just clip it to the picnic table. It's a lifesaver. It makes cleaning up after dinner so much easier, and it stops you from having to use rocks and everything else mm-hmm. to hold your tablecloth down.
Yep.
Headlamp. I'm a big proponent of headlamps. I use these things all the time, 12 months of the year, probably drives Melina around the bend. Basically a flashlight that clips to your head. I don't like the ones that come in toques or ball caps. This is a dedicated one that you can use just around your head. I've used it in the winter, summer, hitching up. Well, you're in the dark. If you've got to fix something, change a flat tire, rummage around in the back of the truck, it's more than just walking down the road in the campground and having a flashlight. 100 uses. Mm-hmm. So spend some money and get a good one. But I just love mine.
Yeah, I use it for reading at the campfire too, or reading in bed at night. I love them. I think they're great. Mini bike pump. So we do a lot of biking when we're out and about and a lot of trails, ride over a lot of rocks. We have older bikes that don't hold air in some of them so well. So having a mini bike pump that you can either clip to the crossbar of your bike or stick in your backpack is fantastic. Just for, you know, if you're out in the middle of the trail, you might be, you know, 5 miles from your campsite and your kid's tire goes flat, then it might give you just that little bit of air to get you home.
Yep. Absolutely.
RV journal. Okay, so I recently got an RV journal for my birthday from my mother-in-law, and I just think it is absolutely fantastic. There is a ton of them out there. Ours, I love because, you know, the title page, you flip open the cover, and the title page is basically a gigantic coloring page of North America. So you can color the states and the provinces you've been to and highlight places you've been, which I am nerded out over, and I think it's just fantastic. But the inside of the journal is kind of pre-planned for you, and it will give you things to list, like, you know, how the Wi-Fi was in the parks, like where the park was located. Write down your favorite sites if you're on a walk, of like where you might want to return to, if it was, you know, a provincial park or a state park, like how many dump sites were there in the campground, like how clean were the bathrooms. You know, you can kind of write all of this information down so that when you go to plan other trips or recommend them to other people, I just find it's really handy to have a log of where you've been and, you know, the people you met and the sites you saw, because it's really easy for a lot of these trips to kind of run into each other in your mind.
Yep. Next thing, water pressure regulator. This is a bit of a practical gift, but you're going to thank me when your water system doesn't explode inside your trailer next summer. If you're new to RVing and maybe you didn't know this, what you want to get is a water pressure regulator that you connect into your city water connection for your trailer that helps regulate the pressure inside your trailer so that if your park has too much pressure, it doesn't blow the connections inside your trailer. Not a lot of money, but it's going to save you a lot of hassle down the road if you get a surge in water pressure.
Mm-hmm. And on the same note, if you listen to episode 2 of season 1, where we talked about, you know, all about dump stations and black water maintenance, you'll find we talked a lot about the fact that a lot of provincial parks and state parks at the dump station, they might have a hose for you to rinse stuff off, but it doesn't have a hose connection so that you can use it to use your black water flush on the side of your trailer if you have one. Now, we have discovered a very cheap, like a $10 item called a Water Bandit, which basically saves the day.
Absolutely. So it's a great little thing. Put it on the end of the hose. You can still use your black water flush out, because we know that sometimes at the dump station, they don't have a connector at the end. It's just a piece of hose that's been cut right off.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people get a little bit upset when they're all jockeying for position to get that one hose at the dump station. So this
that's still got a connector on it?
That's still got a connector on it. So, hey, you've got your own connector. Jump in any line, get in, get out quick.
Mm-hmm. So the next one is kind of a random, you know, stocking stuffer. But if you have somebody who's super into RVing or just a casual camper with a trailer, having rolls of quarters and for us Canadians, rolls of loonies is such a good gift. Because of the cost of laundry facilities at campgrounds and because of the fact that when you actually have to do laundry, you usually can't find enough quarters or loonies. Sometimes there's change machines, sometimes there's not. I've had change machines that are completely empty when I need to go get change. So just having those rolls of quarters and loonies available for when you have to do laundry is just fantastic.
Yep. Next thing I'd say, folks, I really like is a little bike pouch that goes on your bike. One end connects to the frame, the other connects to the end of the handlebars. It lets you put your keys in there, maybe a little bit of pocket money, your phone, and you can get a little clear screen or cover on it so that you can actually see your phone if you're following your GPS, because inevitably, dad, where can somebody take this? Dad, oh honey, can you hang on to this? And it's great for that little thing especially if you're just gonna ride your bike, go get some ice cream or do a quick little day trip and you don't want to have to bring a whole big backpack.
Yeah, you can fold up trail maps and fit them in there too. Like they're great for holding anything, honestly. So you don't have to bring a backpack with you if you don't want to when you're biking through trails. So one last item, super not exciting, but it's like our mission in life to make sure people do this right, and that is disposable gloves.
Yep. You need disposable gloves at
the poop station.
At the poop station. And I've talked about this before, folks. You don't need poop underneath your fingernails. So if your hands are getting wet with the gloves that you're using, you're not using the right gloves. Mechanics gloves that are mesh on one side and rubber on the other are not right. Bare hands are not right. I think we talked over coffee this morning. I think I'm going to do an episode a little bit later on in December with a bit of a rant here, but it's not the most exciting gift, but a nice box of gloves underneath there is one less thing you have to go find in the spring or worry about getting later. So get some decent disposable gloves, and you can use them for everything. If you got to fix something, you want to keep your hands clean. If you need to dump the trailer, you want to clean fish, lots of different uses. Doesn't cost too much money.
Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's almost 40 items for you to choose from. I know it's a lot. Thank you for sticking with us and hearing about why we use some of these items. Again, go ahead to the show notes, which will have a link to our blog for this episode, where you can see all of the items, what they look like, why we use them. We'll have a little write-up for each of them that kind of recaps what we've talked about today. It is the last week of November already. We are starting season 2 in January, and I would like to thank everyone for sticking with us. I know, you know, this pandemic has really made us rethink, you know, some of the things we've wanted to do, and starting a podcast was something that was always on our list, but always something we pushed back because we didn't have the time to do it, but we really made the effort this year to get it off the ground. And it's just been phenomenal. The people we have met through this podcast have really warmed our hearts. We've had a ton of great travel stories. I just met a ton of people who love the same lifestyle, which means a lot to us. So thank you for listening. During December, you're going to find that there's a little bit of a different format. We're going to take a step back a little bit in December, but we don't want to stop giving you information. So our format for December, just to allow us to have a little bit of a brain break, is to just put out episodes of the quickest travel, trailer, road trip, RV tips, hacks that are like 5 minutes in length. So every week you'll get a new tip from us during December. You know, these podcasts are fantastic. We love them, but they take a long time. Like it probably takes me 7 to 8 hours to prepare each episode to go out. And Dan and I both work 2 jobs. So this is something that we do because it's a labor of love, but it does take a lot of time. So for us to be able to spend more time with family in December, we're kind of downgrading the episodes a little bit, but they're still going to be really awesome tips, really great tips that we get asked about a lot. And we will pick back up with season 2 in January. Thanks for riding with us this far. And we will chat with you next week with our first tip.
And enjoy the rest of the week. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.